Chapter 32. Use Your Common Sense. Everything had to be decided in the short walk from the treehouse to the cottage. We settled on 2 hours each. I volunteered to take the first shift. If I missed supper, it would arouse less suspicion. It was unheard of for Molly or Frank to miss a meal. Molly and I both thought Frank was too young to sit in the dark barn all alone, but he wouldn't hear of missing out. "All right," whispered Molly. We were almost at the house by now. "We haven't got time to argue, but you'll do just 1 hour, not two. You do the second shift. You'll have to pretend to go to bed as usual and then creep outside. We'll talk more about it after supper. Then I'll do the third shift. I'll take him some food and go in by the door. Taking him food will give me the chance to see what he's up to. And when I've taken up his food, I'll go out of the big door so he thinks I've left and creep in again through the gap in the wall. I'll wake Anna at 10, and the two of us will take turns during the night." "Don't argue, Frank," she said as he started to interrupt. "You're lucky you're even allowed to do one shift. I'd much rather you didn't." As the others washed their hands at the sink in the scullery, I said, "Auntie Rose, I'm feeling a bit sick. Would it be all right if I went and lay down for a while?" Auntie Rose frowned in concern. "I hope you're not coming down with something." She laid her hand on my forehead. "You don't feel hot." "Maybe it was something she ate," suggested Molly, coming in from the scullery. "She scoffed lots of raspberries in the treehouse." I shot her a look. It was a bit much, Molly accusing me of greed. "Some of them weren't very ripe," Molly continued. "That's probably why she's got a tummy ache." Auntie Rose shook her head and tutted. "Well, go and lie down, Anna. You two come and have your supper." I had to admit that a stomachache from eating unripe raspberries was a good idea. Faking actual illness might lead to all sorts of complications, whereas this could be over in a couple of hours, just as I finished my shift in the barn. The only problem would be if Auntie Rose came upstairs to check on me. I knew Molly would do all she could to prevent that, but I wished we'd had a chance to discuss it. It would have been one less thing to worry about. I arranged my pillow lengthways in the bed, with the covers on top of it. Then I closed the curtains. With any luck, if Auntie Rose did come to check, she would see the shape in the bed and leave the room without investigating any further. I started to tiptoe downstairs, desperately hoping the boards wouldn't creak. Luckily, there was plenty of noise in the kitchen. "Give your dad some more potatoes, Molly," Auntie Rose was saying. "He's worn out after digging those defence trenches." "Where are the trenches?" asked Frank. "Can we play in them?" "Up under the wood," said Uncle Bert, "just about above Neve's Lane." "Oh, that reminds me," said Auntie Rose. "I saw Mrs. Chantry today. She's going up to Scotland to stay with her daughter. She says she can't bear the sound of the planes every night and she's too old to be spending the night in shelters. They're not getting any air raids up where her daughter lives," she says. "Lucky them," said Uncle Bert. "She's going to give me the keys to her cottage," said Auntie Rose. "She's got tenants moving in, but not for a couple of weeks, so I said I'd water her plants and send down her post in the meantime." Uncle Bert tutted. "Haven't you got enough to do with all the WVS and WI things you're taking on? This house is like a jam factory at the moment. I haven't had a decent meal in weeks." The children laughed. Uncle Bert loved to grumble, but he didn't mean any of it. "Weren't you in the Dog and Duck with Jack Hawkins last night?" said Auntie Rose. "Mrs. Chantry told me she found him asleep in the ditch outside her house this morning with his bicycle on top of him." Frank went off into peals of laughter. "Asleep in the ditch? Why was he asleep in the ditch?" Uncle Bert chuckled. He did get a bit merry, but I didn't know he was that far gone. Didn't turn up for milking, apparently. Mr. Paris had to send William out to find him. Jack told Mrs. Chantry it was the best night's sleep he'd had in weeks. As they laughed and chatted, I tiptoed down the last few stairs and into the porch. I inched the front door open and slipped outside. The farm was bathed in late afternoon golden light. The farm workers were all out haymaking in the fields. The sounds of the army camp drifted across from the park. A pig grunted in its sty. I made my way across the yard and, holding my breath, inched through the narrow gap in the barn wall. I stood still and listened. There was no sound from the loft. Assuming the man hadn't moved, he would be directly above me right now, with a gun by his side. That was a horrible thought. I tried to put it out of my mind and concentrate instead on deciding where to sit for the next 2 hours. There was an upturned bucket a couple of metres away. It wouldn't be the most comfortable seat, but it might be better than the dirt floor. The loft was completely silent. Maybe he'd been telling the truth when he said he was going to sleep. I wished I could hear snoring so that I could be sure. It was even more frightening than I'd expected, sitting in the gloom with an armed Nazi spy on a wooden platform directly above me. My heart thumped and my palms were sweating. I was terrified I would accidentally make a sound and give myself away. I forced my mind to concentrate on finding a solution to the terrible situation we were in. A solution where Uncle Bert wouldn't get into trouble and the man wouldn't be able to give away his secrets. Suddenly my eyes opened wide and my heart started racing. There was a solution. But did I have the courage to do what it would take? It took a while to slow down my racing mind and start to think properly. But when I did, I realised that what I'd thought was a hideous mess was actually an incredible opportunity. Finally, I had the chance to really help the war effort. And if I didn't take this chance, then I would be betraying everybody I loved. A huge snort came from the loft. I jumped in shock, biting my tongue with the effort of stifling a shriek. The snort was followed by a grunt and a noisy rustling. Clearly the man had been asleep, and clearly he was now waking up. My heart was thumping. What if he climbed down and found me? I remembered his swollen ankle. But what if he was really determined to get away? After all, he had managed to climb up using only one leg. Various disgusting nasal noises came from the loft. The church clock struck 7. Frank would be here any minute. I didn't like the thought of leaving him alone with the man, especially now he was awake. A shadow fell across the barn floor. My stomach turned over, but it was only Frank climbing through the gap. Through a series of complicated hand signals, I managed to communicate that he should leave the barn and that I would come out too, because I wanted to talk to him. We tiptoed across the yard and into the cowshed. "He's just woken up," I whispered. "I'll stay with you. You shouldn't be alone with him." Frank shook his head. "You have to go back. Mum's going to come to your room and see how you're feeling. She was going to go in when she came to say goodnight to me, but I told her I'd just gone in and you were asleep. But she'll come and check on you soon, so you have to be there." "What about Molly? She could come out." "Mum's got her scrubbing potatoes and washing the eggs. It'll be fine, honest. I'm not scared of anything. I want to do it." I looked at him. He seemed very determined. "All right. But if you're scared by anything he says or does, or if he mends the machine and starts talking or using code or anything, you must come and get me straight away. All right?" "I will." "Was he trying to fix the transmitter while you were there?" "No. He only woke up a few minutes ago. That's why I think he might start working on it now." "I wonder if he's got a torch," said Frank. That was a very good question. If he didn't have a torch, he wouldn't be able to work on his machine once it got dark. Let's hope he doesn't. "You'd better go back and get into bed," said Frank. "Good luck. Come and tell me about it when you get back." Molly would take over at 8 o'clock. Then I would take over from Molly at 10. And I would bring a loaded shotgun with me.